Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Padave. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopi janat malaba hiri varuda huyiri. Gopi jana malaba hiri varuda huyiri. Yasoda nana praja jana ranjana. Yasoda nana praja jana ranjana. Yamuna tera manachari. Yamana te ravana chaldi. Jai hurad humadava kunabi rahuti. Joy hurad humadva kunjavi haruti. Gopijana palaba kiribarari. Gopi jana malaba kiribaradi. Yasoda nana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tera panachari. Yamuna tera panachari. Jai Hurad Humanava Kunjabihari. Jai Hurad Humanava Kunjabihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad.
Paramahansa Paravidagacharya Olsutela
Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chantanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai. Namacharya Srila Huilas Thakur Kijai. Prem se kaho shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Garadha Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kijana Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govinda Sain Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gaura Kijana Vrinda Vada Kijana Churda Kijana Jagannatha Swami Kijana Yamunamai Kijana Shrimani Devasi Devi Kijana Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijana Gaura All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premananda. Okay. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading from the 10th canto, 17th chapter, and the last text in the 17th chapter, which is text 25. And we may go on to the next chapter after that, because there's no purport. So text 25, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Itam Swa Jana Vaiklavyam Niriksha Jagat Ishvaraha Tam Agnim Apibat Tivram Ananto Ananta Shakti Vrik Itam Swajana Vaiklavyahum Niriksha Jagarishvaraha Tamagnim Apipativram Ananto Nanta Shakti Drik Itam Svajana Vaiklavyam Niriksha Jagarishvaraha Tamagnim apipativram Ananto nanta shakti drik Itam svajana vaiklavyam Niriksha jagadhishvaraha Tamagnim apipativram Ananto nanta shakti drik What? You can, yeah, you can put it on. Just make sure it's a soft, but change the tone of the light. That's good. That makes me look better. Nanto nanta shakti drik. Okay. Itam, in this manner. Svajana of his own devotees. Vaiklavyam, the disturbed condition. Niriksha, seen. Jagadishvaraha, the Lord of the universe. Tam, that. Agnim, fire. Abibat, drank. Tivram, terrible. Anantaha, the unlimited Lord. Anantashakti, trick. The possessor of unlimited potencies. Translation. Seeing his devotees so disturbed, Sri Krishna, the infinite Lord of the universe and possessor of infinite power, then swallowed the terrible forest fire. So you can repeat. Seeing his devotees so disturbed, Sri Krishna, the infinite Lord of the universe and possessor of infinite power, then swallow the terrible forest fire. So thus end the purports of the humble servants, even though there's no purport here, of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The History of Kaliya. So actually what I'd like to speak about is why people in general are put into distress, and then why devotees are put into distress. It's an interesting subject matter. Of course, when we're talking about people in general, that means people who are not Krishna conscious. Of course, we don't want to use a pejorative term in relationship to people who are not Krishna conscious. There's people who have not yet realized their Krishna consciousness. So we have to be careful of pejorative. Pejorative, for those of you not educated, means demons, rakshasas, malachas, yavanas. Well, zombies, yeah, that may be good. Karmis, vikarmis. We have a whole vocabulary that's really interesting vocabulary about these things, you know, that meat eaters, anyway, whatever they are. So it's just that people haven't yet realized that they're Krishna conscious. So this particular subject matter of why these particular people are put into difficulty is actually called theodicy, which basically means what? The justice of God. And this particular subject matter confuses most theologians. And they come up with all sorts of weird philosophies, speculations as to why, basically, to put it simply, why good people suffer and why bad people can sometimes enjoy. So, and one particular person came up, his name was Harvey Kushner or something like that, which is similar to Hare Krishna. And actually, by chanting his names, you probably get Namabas liberation. So anyway, he came up with basically that God's a good guy. He means well, but he's, got out of hand. Everything got out of hand. You know, just like sometimes, you know, like I started a temple. I'm a pretty good guy sometimes. And then I get blamed for everything that happens in the temple. It got out of hand. So I'm the prime mover. It's interesting. The prime contractor. But I started the temple, then everything just got out of hand. And, you know, people are just wild. They don't get up in the morning, things like that, you know. But I get blamed for it. So that's the problem. I do get blamed for everything. I'm responsible. And I'm blamed for what disciples do, too. That's called a reaction. Prabhupada said that, you know, when you initiate and you have a disciple and they do some rascaldom, then you can have bad dreams or something. It's not that you actually become under the influence of karma, but Krishna sends like a lesson for you. That, you know, to absorb something, you have to be powerful. Like the sun, Prabhupada gave the example of the sun. The sun can actually purify even urine, isn't it? It shines down and it can purify, you know, get rid of all the factor, even can probably purify the coronavirus too if you're out in the sun long enough. But then you may get cancer, skin cancer. But in any case, someone has to be really ready for the reaction. But anyway, getting back to people who are not following Krishna consciousness or following religion, their own religion, because Prabhupada was not sectarian. Prabhupada said they must follow the government. A Krishna conscious government would make sure that everybody's following their particular religion. And there was one country in the world that actually does that, and I forget the name. What's the name of the country? Indonesia. They actually make sure that you better follow your religion. So that's actually good. So anyway, so if one is not connected to God, then they have to suffer something called karma. And that's the justice of God. So it may appear that, oh, this poor little kid was born in an unfortunate circumstance. He's basically innocent, but you don't know that poor little kid in his last life could have been Attila the Hun. For those of you who don't know, he was a bad guy. Attila the Hun. Or it could have been Hitler. You know, Hitler was born again too. Of course, maybe not now. Maybe he's taking a vacation with the Amaraj for a little while before he's born again. But in any case, there's a past life and there's a future life. As Krishna says in the Gita, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. And so we're really getting it, anyway, someone who is not engaged in God consciousness, yoga, whatever, is getting a reaction for their past activities. I was asked about this yesterday, specifically about Parabdha Karma, and I'm going to get into this a little further later on in class. But Parabdha Karma, they said, well, if we have some, they asked about Aparabdha Karma. That means the karma that's you haven't yet suffered from. It's just waiting there just to pounce on you. So they asked about it. He said, when do you actually get to suffer or enjoy Aparabdha Karma? When does it become Parabdha Karma? Is it 5 minutes from now in this lifetime or in 20 lifetimes? And I said, that's up to Krishna's administrators of the universe, you know. As they say, the masters of the universe. That's up to like Yamaraj and others who determine when you're going to get that reaction. It's not necessarily true that you'll get an instant reaction. The reaction may be in 10 births or 100 births or 1,000 births from now. That's karma. And, you know, I can't say when you're going to get your reaction, but you will get your reaction. So anyway, so everybody is suffering or enjoying the results of their resultant of their actions, the results of their actions. That's life. As you sow, you shall reap. That's in the Bible. Or for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Where are you going? Offering obeisances. So that's the justice of God. There's justice. And the justice in the material world is like blind justice. We were talking yesterday with some devotees about American justice. And in America, according to the Bhagavatam, when the Bhagavatam lists the symptoms of Kali Yuga, if you have money, then you could just buy your way out of a particular punishment in many particular cases. Or if you happen to be good friends with a highly posted person who I can't name, he who cannot be named, then he'll make sure that the Justice Department in the United States drops the charges against you. It's actually happening right in front of our eyes, isn't it? Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how, I never thought it would happen in America, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. So anyway, justice is supposed to be blind. And you see this depiction of this lady, right, with the scale? And she has a blindfold on, not a mask. Nowadays, they put a mask and a blindfold on her. But she has a blindfold on. And so, in other words, there's no conflict of interest when she's passing her judgment, of course. Or someone who's representing her, the government, a proper government, like Lord Ram. There was no conflict of interest. Even if it meant punishing his own son or, of course, sending his wife away, that's another thing. It's not that she did anything wrong, but he was concerned with basically the kingdom over his own personal interests. So that's a proper king. No nepotism. Does everybody know what nepotism is? Nepotism means, you know, my relative. Whew, I have to keep myself from mentioning names, proper names in class. It's just like, all I can do is keep myself from mentioning people's names. Not my son, you know, gets posted, or my daughter gets posted just because they happen to be connected to me, or my buddies. I bring all my buddies in. So anyway, so Krishna's justice, or the justice of karma, is not biased. You know, Krishna doesn't punish people more because they have a certain color skin. Instead, Yamaraj, you know, like nowadays. And it's a fact that in America and in many other countries in the world, if someone has a certain color skin or certain nationality, then they're more likely to get abused by the justice system or injustice system, as the case may be, right? I mean, it's just a fact. I was just talking to someone, one of my friends in India, and he was telling me that when he was 16 years old, he has a black body. When he was 16 years old, he was in America just taking some pictures in the street, and he was asked by the police, you know, move. He said, move, you know, very heavy way. So he moved. He thought, you know, this guy's an authority, you know, I got to move. But he didn't move quick enough, so that the police took like bats or, you know, canes or batons or whatever they have, and they just beat him practically to death. So that's terrible. I mean, that's why I'm very much in favor of rectifying the situation. And, you know, I've even told the devotees we're in favor of Black Lives Matter, because when a devotee becomes very compassionate when he sees people mistreated, even in the material sphere. And of course, we want to give them Krishna consciousness at the same time. Obviously, we have to do two things. But it's not that we just like ignore material mistreatment or someone who's having material difficulty, just like in Australia, and I've used the example in my class at night. Just like in Australia, the devotees were preparing for Rath Yatra, and next door there was a house on fire or apartment building on fire. On the second floor, a lady was actually screaming, help, 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 get me out of here. And the devotees rushed out and they brought the canopy from the Rath Yatra cart, and they held it tight along with everybody else who's on the street. And they said, jump, jump, jump. And this lady had enough courage. She jumped. And they saved her. And Prabhupada was pleased, you know. So it's not that a devotee just thinks. And another example is that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was with his disciples in, I think it was Vrindavan or somewhere, and the beggars were begging for something, and the disciples wouldn't, just ignore them and didn't give them anything. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he criticized, he said, his disciples, this will make you very hard-hearted. You know, when you see people suffering, and you don't even react materially, what to speak of spiritually. Of course, you should do both. And one time, actually, Prabhupada gave out some unoffered food. Oh, actually, money. Yeah, this is a story I heard the other day. Prabhupada gave some money to a beggar, and the devotee was really bewildered. And asked Prabhupada, you know, why'd you give money to this beggar? Is the money you're giving prasadam? And Prabhupada said, yes. It's interesting. The money was... I'm not saying we should go out and just like helter-skelter give money to everybody, but basically we should feel compassion for people. I mean, it's actually extremely important part of devotional service, as well as helping people spiritually at the same time, not simply mundane compassion like Arjuna was exhibiting in the Gita. So anyway, getting to the point is that, we're talking about the justice of God. So people are actually suffering or enjoying according to the result and react activities, and justice is blind. Like I mentioned before, it's not that Yamaraj looks at the color of your skin, because you've left your body anyway. He said, what skin did you have in your past life? You know, huh? Has nothing to do with it. Actually, Yamaraj is dark skinned too. So he definitely believes that Black Lives Matter. So, you know, Yamaraj is equal to everybody. does something bad, does something good, you get equal punishment. And he's not sentimental about the whole thing. You know, and his punishment is given, this is another point too. This was brought out last night when we were talking about punishment. It's restorative justice. And when talking about justice, there's two different philosophies, or there's many other philosophies, but two main philosophies of justice. One is retributive justice, and the other one is restorative. Retributive is, it makes me feel good to see you suffer for what you did to me or what you did to someone else. And a typical example of that is when someone is condemned to death, there'll be all sorts of kids parked outside of the prison house before the person is given the lethal injection or put in the electric chair. And they'll be tailgating. We talked about this last night too. Tailgating means they sit in the bed of a truck. You understand? Tailgating. I never did it. You did it, but I never did it. And drink beer and cheer as soon as the person gets killed. That's very bad, too. That's retribution. And justice does not mean retribution. Justice means restoration or restorative justice, which means that justice is given to actually bring the living entity on the cosmic scale, let's talk about, to bring the living entity back to their original consciousness, or a better consciousness, or at least dharmic consciousness. And the governmental scale, now they're just, it's just justice. Justice is basically you warehouse the criminals and they learn how to be better criminals. And in many cases, it's retributive, just to, you know, just make them suffer rather than to restore. Of course, sometimes it's restorative, but anyway, that's another subject matter. But Krishna's justice is always restorative, even though it appears harsh sometimes. Why does Krishna do that to that person? Somehow or other, we don't understand. We don't see things on a larger time scale. Like Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything, what, past, present, and future. So Krishna sees all these things, you know, the past of the person, the present of the person, the future of the person, and what needs to be done right now with the person. And it appears really harsh. But, you know, if you don't see things from a larger perspective, that's the problem. You know, sometimes, anyway, if you saw the way my mother dealt with me, you would think it was really harsh. I, too, think it was really harsh. But anyway, it turned out all right, didn't I? So, probably all right. So just like when my mother, I don't suggest this, but my mother, when I sometimes would use some crude words that I got from bad association, she would wash my mouth out with soap. And now I can't say any of those words. I just have the taste of soap in my mouth. I mean, it's called post-traumatic stress. PTSD. So I'm not saying that Krishna tries to do that with his justice. So anyway, so now we're talking about like people who are not really spiritual. That's what happens. And ultimately the purpose, what is the purpose? You know, because this, we believe in a purpose. The study of purpose is called teleology. So the purpose is actually to bring the person ultimately to Krishna consciousness. So if you take directly to Krishna consciousness, you don't have to go through all that. So let's get to the subject matter of today's class, which I took 15 minutes just to sort of get to the point. So why are devotees being subjected to these things? I mean, now that subject matter is coming out because we have one wonderful devotee who's in the intensive care unit. And, you know, we've experienced before, I had so many of my friends passed away either from disease or accidents like that. And I mean, like my dear God, brother Jayananda, he had cancer, leukemia, and, you know, very painful situation. And he passed away in such a, and at a young age too, he passed away in Los Angeles temple at the time of Mangalarti. I was actually there for that. Or Gaura Govinda Maharaj, I was with him when he passed away. I'm not the angel of death, don't worry. Sometimes people say, you know, when I visit them, for the, that means that Krishna's coming. Anyway, in that form, so don't be scared. So, and then Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. I mean, I can go down the line. Sridhar Maharaj, who basically cirrhosis of the liver, and he was very sick. And I wasn't with him at the moment he passed away, but a few moments before I was with him. And so, yeah, and you see these people, these devotees, not just people, these devotees suffering and going through this situation. First of all, I was wrong when I say you see them suffering. Because the mind of a pure devotee or advanced devotee cannot be understood from the external perspective. That's one thing. You know, we say, why is that person suffering? Like you see, you know, Prabhupada is lying, getting ready to leave this world. I don't think it's appropriate to say he was suffering. I would say that Prabhupada was enacting his lila, and a pure devotee is always absorbed in Krishna and his lila. And of course, you know, obviously he does have that experience of pain, but to say suffering in regard to a pure devotee who is actually Kevalananda Kanda, I mean, this is what we learned. He's always enjoying. I mean, on one level, yes, you could say there's the physical pain. I understand that. But when you hear his Bhagavatam purports that he was dictating at the end, you understand it's not suffering. He's actually in ecstasy. I mean, these are his ecstatic manifestations. So that's the first point we have to understand. That a pure devotee, and here we're talking about the residents of Vrindavan. This is what started this whole discussion. They're in anxiety. Of course, their anxiety is they're going to be separated from Krishna, not that they're going to be hurt or burnt by the fire. Their anxiety is if they die, they won't be able to see Krishna anymore. So that's a spiritual anxiety. So a devotee's anxiety, devotee's suffering, everything is actually a manifestation of their bhava. So let's not apply or project our consciousness upon how a pure devotee is experiencing at a particular time. Like one time a devotee looked at a picture of Prabhupada and said something like, Prabhupada, looks like you were, you know, really miserable or suffering or whatever in this picture. And Prabhupada said, I was experiencing the greatest ecstasy. So, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So we want to poke our minds, our mundane minds, into the consciousness of a pure devotee. It just doesn't work like that. It shouldn't work like that. So anyway, so that's the first point. Second point I want to make, to me, is really an essential point, is that the pure devotee is in that situation, advanced devotee is in that situation, or any devotee is in that situation, not because of Parabdha Karma. This is a discussion we've been having with people, and it's something that really upsets me. Because, you know, they say, well, is so-and-so in the hospital, whatever, because of Parabdha Karma? And no, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when one chants the holy names, you know, even Namabhas chanting, and Namabhas chanting is chanting, you know, accidentally or meaning something else or jokingly or derisively or even like separated syllables like that, or like the Muslims calling out haram, haram, how horrible, the pigs are attacking me. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how all the karma gets eradicated. And that's the holy name. So it's not karma, especially for an advanced devotee or pure devotee. You know, you can't say that it's karma. And you, so many times we have people criticizing. Actually, it's offensive to the devotee. It's offensive to the holy names to say such a thing. You know, they criticize the way that someone leaves their body. For example, with Bhakti Chumar, not Bhakti Chumar, with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they said, well, he left his body in an automobile accident. It's inauspicious. Why is it inauspicious? He was in a holy place. Where, you tell me what type of leaving your body you would consider to be auspicious. Is there any What? But they were thinking of Krishna. Gorgovinda Maharaj is auspicious. It's not that Tamal Krishna Maharaj is leaving the body in that way was inauspicious. Krishna has a plan. Many devotees left their bodies defending the temples when the Muslims were attacking. Was that inauspicious? Was Bhaktatirtha Maharaj leaving inauspicious? No. I don't think, you know, we're looking at things from a mundane point of view. Or if, you know, if I leave my body through old age when I'm so decrepit that someone has to carry me around in a wheelbarrow, that Steve has to push me around in a wheelbarrow, is that auspicious? I don't know. What's auspicious is whether the person is remembering Krishna at the time of leaving the body and whether the person is a great devotee. I mean, I don't think we have, you know, we don't want to really project our mundane conceptions upon the realm of the absolute or upon the realm of advanced devotees. And especially when we have these shastric injunctions that, or statements, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur about chanting the holy name. And I think one of the main problems we have in our society is that people don't have enough faith in Krishna's name. It really, you know, that's the one thing that really upsets me. When people don't have that faith in Krishna's name, someone is chanting Krishna's name, they're with Krishna. You understand? It's not that they're just chanting, it's a means to achieve a particular goal. It's both the means and the goal. Sadhana and sadhya. So you're chanting, and Krishna's there. Nam namakari bahudha nija sarva shakti. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha. Purna shuddha nitya mukto vinatvam namanamino. Krishna's there. I mean, you don't see him because, you know, atakshri Krishna namadi. Nabhavet Graham Indriya Sevan Mukhehi Jiva. You haven't rendered enough service. You're not. But Krishna's there. You know, right in front of you. He's there. It's palpable. You can feel it. I mean, maybe you can't. So really that's the point. That we're just thinking in such a mundane way about devotees, and it's really upsetting that we're thinking in such a mundane way. Krishna has a plan. So when a devotee, all right, so there could be several reasons why devotees are put in those situations. Here, in this particular pastime, it's basically to bring the residents of Vrindavan to the point that they're meditating more on Krishna. You know, when Krishna is put, or where there's some difficulty, like this forest fire that's being described here, or Krishna is apparently put into some dangerous situation personally, like the Kaliya serpent thing, it's to draw the devotees closer. Like when Prabhupada, talking about Prabhupada now, when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave the planet, it was like a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster, wasn't it? That Prabhupada's getting better, okay, Jai, and Prabhupada said, you know, there's this whole thing where devotees would say, we want you to live. And Prabhupada said, okay. And he began to eat again. And everyone said, phew, they breathed a sigh of relief. And then a few days later, down again. And so it's not the suffering. The point is that Prabhupada was bringing us closer. And so when Prabhupada eventually left the planet, those who were actually, you know, focused on him and were actually, their love had been deepened by this whole pastime. And similarly with Bhaktatirtha Maharaj, their love had been deepened. So much to the point that those who were actually dedicated understood Prabhupada's instructions in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Prabhupada says when the spiritual master leaves the planet, the disciples should actually be dedicated to the mission of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada made that comparison with the sati right and the chaste wife and everything like that. So that's another purpose, you know, to bring people closer. So when a devotee is put in difficulty, another purpose of when a devotee is put into difficulty is to glorify a devotee, their determination. I mean, you see, the Pandavas put into so much difficulty. Prabhupada said, without opposition, where's the chance for glorious victory? Or in the case, which I've mentioned several times before, in the case of, let's say, Jayapataka Maharaj, he was put in a situation, and I was in the hospital with him, when the doctor said, you better make plans for the funeral, because he's not going to survive. We haven't seen anyone survive from the, you know, brain hemorrhage before. We haven't seen someone survive that way. Yet, he's out there preaching. In spite of all these difficulties, it's glorious. I mean, when we see that and the determination of a devotee, it's glorious. So what I'm saying is that Krishna has a plan when he puts his devotee in to such situations. And we may not understand, you know, in retrospect sometimes, we can understand to a certain degree. We may not understand why this is happening. But we have to be careful not to think in a mundane way, like, oh, you know, with the justice of God, non-devotees, you know, it's just like action, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, or restorative justice. You know, it's just, it's a different category. It's a different category. And don't think, like Prabhupada said, when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave this world, don't think this won't happen to you. I mean, all of us will have to leave our bodies. I hate to tell you that, you know, hate to break the bad news, that everybody here at one point is going to have to leave your body. And right now, in my particular situation, not leaving my body, not the second, I am coming across, you know, disciples and friends practically every week. Several are in the hospital. I mean, just like last night, we were giving our class, our online class, and one of my disciples in New Zealand, her husband is getting, you know, he's in the hospital. So I talked to him in the hospital. So I'm doing that all the time. I mean, I'm doing outreach in hospitals every day. And at funerals every day, you know, not every day, sorry, but, you know, quite often. So we're reminded of the fragility of this material body. And sometimes as devotees, we think, you know, the protection of Krishna is that, you know, my body is just like invulnerable. It's not like that. It's not like that. And that's another reason Krishna's devotee shows that these things to us, because it's, you know, things like that will happen to us. So it's a wake-up call. Be very serious. Another reason is be very serious about Krishna consciousness. You don't know how long you have in this world. There's another reason why we see this happening with devotees. Anyway, on that happy note, I'm just trying to explain things. But with the residents of Vrindavan, they're just being brought closer to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, there's no end of being brought closer to Krishna. You understand? In the material world, you can get so close to someone, doesn't last for very long, and then that's it. It's like Prabhupada said, you shine a light in a box, it just hits the edge of the box, and you shine a light in outer space, it goes on forever. So we want to shine our light of love on Krishna where it can go on unlimitedly. And that's, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the light outside the box. That's our philosophy. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Sarvastatmanam Ram Vijayate Krishna Sankirtanam